Thank you again, choir. Looking forward to next Sunday, the 21st, for the cantata, postponed from the 14th. I'll be ready for a sermon just in case. But we're looking forward to this coming Sunday, 10 a.m. They told us they were going to have decorations up today. And I'm with Ken. You know, the turtle surprised me a little bit. I didn't know if there was an apocryphal version of the story. You know, there were turtles crawling in the fields at night, watching over their eggs, and suddenly there was... I didn't know what this was. But it's a beach theme, obviously. Yes? Am I right on that? I think I am anyway. But glad you're here today. Give thanks to the Lord. A wonderful, wonderful season. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. This is Luke 1, 46 through 55. Hear the word of the Lord. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. And holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, today's text is a familiar one. It's known as Mary's Song or the Magnificat. It's entitled that because of the word appearing in the first statement that Mary makes here. My soul magnifies, and that's the key theme today, my soul magnifies the Lord, and then my spirit rejoices. These two things go together in this text and certainly with the sermon today. So there's close connection between magnifying the Lord and our experience of joy. And I really like the word magnify here as it corresponds to this passage. There's also they believe this was an early hymn of the church, a song of praise, if you will, that the early church sang, and as it corresponds to Mary's originally singing this. And when we normally think about the word magnify or magnification, it usually involves some type of lens to enlarge an object in our vision. Many of you have reading glasses. They magnify the words of the text that you're reading or the menu, whatever it may be. Sometimes we also use binoculars to see things. Well, I could even see the back row back there. To enlarge things that we can see in the distance, if we will. Sometimes we see them in stadiums, football stadiums, or others in nature, or nature trails, as the case may be. Deer rifles have scopes that magnify a viewing area target. Nearly all ladies have makeup mirrors. And they have a normal viewing part of that mirror, and then they have one that's magnified to make the area larger so you can see better. So when we apply this, certainly magnification is an enlargement of our view, an enhancement of our view. Now, when you think about this spiritually, how Mary magnified things, what we might be magnifying in our life right now, maybe the more practical application of this. What is being magnified in your life right now? Could be any number of things. Could be our cars, our homes, our bank accounts, our retirement plans. In this regard, we can magnify material possessions or things that may satisfy our own desires or ambitions. But if you look at this passage, it seems as though God is turning the world upside down, or shall we say right side up. Those who are magnifying wealth or material possessions, the scripture says, are sent away empty. Those who are powerful and prideful are brought down or made low. Mary was essentially a nobody someone of lowly estate who was giving birth to the Christ child, the Messiah. The Lord was magnified, enlarged, if you will, in choosing the weak and the vulnerable to accomplish his greater purpose. Why was that? To show that it's not by human wisdom, it's not by human ingenuity, it's not by human power or capability, it's not to the up and coming necessarily, but it was to those who were humble, those who were willing, those who made themselves available, chose what God wanted in their lives, and from that to bring about, if you will, the complete salvation of the world. And in that action, it was God that was being exalted. It was God that was being magnified, not the person, the human person necessarily. And then the result of that, or the consequence of that, was Mary was rejoicing. So the magnification led to the rejoicing, or to the joy. Now I want to think about this from another angle, a different angle, but nonetheless, the magnification process and how that leads to joy. In the Ten Commandments, the first two commandments deal with idolatry. The first commandment is that we do not have any other gods before God. The second one is that we do not make any graven images, that we do not make literal idols, like in the Old Testament, the Asherah poles or Baal that they worship. The essence of that is that we cannot create God by our own design. As my grandmother used to say, anything you place above God is an idol. Anything we magnify in our lives more than God becomes an idol. But there's another important part of this that I want us to look at today. As human beings, you and I, all of us, are created in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 to 27. You and I are the primary image bearers of God in the world. We cannot create images of God and then worship them. And again, in the Old Testament, we know they worship false gods like Asherah and poles and worship Baal, the storm god. But of everything in all the creation, you and I have the unique ability to reflect God in the world. We have within us the ability to mirror the very image of God in the world. No other part of the creation can do this as you and I can. Like Mary, her soul magnified the Lord. And when that happened, God was enlarged, if you will, for others to see. God was magnified for others to see. God was enlarged in such a manner that people around could more visibly see the Lord's work and what was happening in her life, and what, for that matter, what was happening in God's plan of salvation for the entire world. There's an old story of a young boy who was visiting another church with his friend. He came back home and his mother asked him about the church and the Sunday school he attended. And he said, "Hey, Mom, I think I had Jesus' grandmother for my teacher." And his mother responded, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" And he replied, "Well, all she did was hold up pictures and brag on Jesus all the time. That's all she did." Well, that teacher was magnifying Christ to all the students there in such a way that was unmistakable. And here is the key point of this, is that we image or magnify God by our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And this is what Mary was doing in this passage. Her entire life was involved in magnifying the Lord. As the old gospel song puts it, take a look at your life, the life you are living. You're the only Bible some people read. The only image of God some people will ever see is that which is magnified in your life and my life. And that's exactly what Mary was doing in this passage. Let's look at this from another angle of someone else who was close to Jesus, John the Baptist. Now, we normally orient in Advent, on the second Sunday of Advent toward John the Baptist. He is referred to as the forerunner of Christ. He was preparing the way for Christ. And this is exactly what we're doing in this season of Advent. But John said something very insightful, something very powerful, and something very simple. Not necessarily easy, but very simple. He said, "Jesus must increase, and I must decrease." That's John 3:30. But just before he said that, John stated that his joy has been fulfilled in me. John's message was preparatory, and therefore he would decrease. Jesus' message would be magnified and increased as the Word of God, as the very voice of God, much greater than John. So as Jesus was magnified, John became less and less. Christ became more and more. But here's the connection between magnifying Christ and joy. The more I magnify Christ, the more joy I will receive. The more I magnify other things, whatever they may be, the less lasting joy I will have and will receive. So the question becomes is, what is being most magnified in our lives right now? The Holy Spirit help us as we answer that question and the application of this text to our lives. Well, let's look at this connection of joy from another angle in the Christmas story. The angelic announcement came to the shepherds, not turtles, okay? The angelic came to the shepherds watching over their flocks at night, right after Mary's song. And what was the announcement? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. That's the first Christmas message, the announcement of Christ. It's still the Christmas message today. Don't be afraid. Good news, great joy to all people. Of course, our struggle is we hear a lot of news. The only problem is most all the news we hear is bad news. They had a program a few years ago. It was on TBN. It was called Good News. The program didn't last very long, but it was sharing stories of charitable acts of giving, acts of kindness, extending generosity in the neighborhood, all the positive and good things that were happening. It didn't last very long. It didn't have good ratings, so they deleted it. One person told me who was in the newspaper business years ago, his word was, good news does not sell newspapers. Wow. But again, most of the news we hear is bad news. We hear it in the morning when we get up. We listen to it at noon when we're eating lunch. We listen to it at night before we go to bed. Thanks to CNN and C-SPAN and Fox and all the other network news, you can hear it all day. You can hear it all night. And it never goes off the air. So our lives, I think, can be saturated with the bad news. I think in consideration of that, it might be an effect on our emotional well-being that we hear the bad news continually. I love what theologian Karl Barth said. We should hold the newspaper in one hand, but hold the Bible with the other hand. And what he's meaning by that is we need to be informed about what's happening in our world, but rather, more than that, we need to be transformed by the Word of God. The bad news can inform us, but the good news can transform us. The bad news will expire, but the good news will inspire. The bad news will bring sorrow, but the good news will bring joy. The bad news will bring you down, but the good news will lift you up. Let me be quick to say, as I'm talking about all of this, this is not to say that we be naive and not informed about what's happening. This is not ignoring issues, and it's not avoiding painful situations, but it's a matter of what we're magnifying in our lives. Is it the good news, or is it the bad news? As we're facing our circumstances, whatever they may be, that we face that in the right perspective of magnifying the good news. If you look at Mary's life and circumstances, she had a lot of struggles she was facing. She was in a real dilemma, and we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But she totally focused and magnified the Lord and the good news. And this brought about the joy, rejoicing in her spirit. So here's another principle. The more I magnify the good news versus the bad news, the greater joy I will experience in my life. So are you magnifying the good news or the bad news in your life? One more angle I want to look at with this, speaking about magnification and joy in our lives, and this is in John 15. Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full or complete. And some translations in that read that your joy may be full. In the original Greek language, it means to be crammed full. So our life is to be crammed full of joy. And you parallel that to the angelic message that came that night to the shepherds. It says, great joy. That's the word there is mega, which means like people have mega bucks today or mega property. It's a superabundance of that. It's to say there's a superabundance of joy that the angels are announcing that we are to have, not just a little trickle, not just a little inkling of that, but an overflowing amount of it. Our joy is to be crammed full and overflowing. Now, I want to be real today as well and say, I know that in our human condition, we're all in different seasons of our lives. And what we might be experiencing right now, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, are all different. Yes, we will grieve. Yes, there are times when we may get angry. Yes, there are times when we may experience frustration, and we may find ourselves at times in dire straits and uncertainties and decisions that we need to make. But this, what this is talking about is there is within the depth of our spirit a song of joy, much like what Mary was singing. There is still a supernatural joy in us. And the psalmist put it like this, weeping may endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning. God will give joy in the midst of our losses, our misfortunes, and unwanted changes that we face that can create heartache. Into the darkness has come great light. Light is overcoming darkness here. Good news is overcoming bad news here. Joy is overcoming sorrow here. There is beauty for ashes. There is oil of joy for mourning. There is a spirit of praise for a spirit of despair. This is the good news of great joy. And it's for everybody. More personally, as you think about the character of Mary, who sang this song, she was facing some very difficult circumstances. She faced possible and probably alienation from her family. At this point, she may not have known her fiancé Joseph, what he might do. She would likely face public ridicule. And who would believe her that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and giving birth to the Messiah? The whole town may have wanted to put her away privately, but probably for someone who was mentally unstable. And she wondered, how in the world would this all unfold? How are these things going to be? Yet despite all of her unanswered questions, and despite the difficult circumstances she faced, here's the key point. She was responsive and obedient to what God called her to do. She said, just before this Mary song, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Mary was obedient to God's instruction for her. She's a great example of what Jesus said in John 15. If you keep my commands, the consequences will be, your joy will be complete. Mary was obedient to God first. Then she was able to sing, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices. The rejoicing part did not come until after the obedience part. That's important. So here's a great connection again with magnification. The more I magnify obedience to God's instruction in my life, the greater joy I will receive. And the opposite of that is also true. As the old gospel song puts it, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy, truly joyful, than to trust and obey. We have to say as Mary, Lord, I am your willing servant. I will follow your direction, whatever the circumstances. If you lack joy this morning, there may be some good reasons. You may be encountering losses and disappointment in your life. You may be experiencing, as Elvis sang, a blue Christmas. But above this and beyond this, I pray you may never lose the eternal joy that Christ's coming brings. And this is the good news of great joy. The message of Christ's coming gives to everyone. If we are honest this morning, perhaps there are times when we may allow other things to be magnified in our lives more than the Lord. We may allow the bad news to override the good news. And sometimes we may follow our own desires and our own directions more than that which the Lord has for us. I love what David said in Psalm 51, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is a joyless spirit in me. Maybe like the old Grinch, our heart may need to be expanded. Maybe three sizes. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing." Will you open your heart to prepare Christ to bring his eternal joy in your life? And the parting question from Mary is, what is being magnified in your soul today? I pray it indeed is the Lord, who will cause your heart to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.